Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Stu does America.
I'm back from a few days off. Hopefully I'll get some more days off really soon. We've got a lot to get to today. Doug Gowdy is here to talk about the New York City mayoral race. We also are going to start, though, by doing a world on the brink of war, of explosions, of insanity. I would say at least we're there. We are on the brink of insanity in so many different ways. Some good news over the past week, some news that not so great. Let me start with some of the bad news. Maybe we could start on something, end on something positive. I don't know. Let me talk to you. Well, let me get this out of the way first, because this is probably the most important part of the show today. The people that disagree with me, every one of them are bloodthirsty, warmongering criminals. And they get all of their money from foreign governments. The people that agree with me are the pure ones. They're the good people of our society. And if they agree with me wholeheartedly, they are wholeheartedly pure. My opponents are the opposite of that. They're all bloodthirsty criminals and lunatics, in fact, that are hurting the country and want death. They love death. Okay, I want you to know that. Now, next week, there will be a new issue we're talking about. And some of those people who today are bloodthirsty lunatic criminals are going to agree with me. When that happens, they will become pure, and the people that were pure this week will convert to bloodthirsty criminals that are being supported by foreign governments. And if you understand that, you'll understand the entire internet over the past week, especially on the right. And this is why I start with this, because it's not positive. This whole disagreement, I guess, on what's going on with Israel and Iran. That's every single tweet that I saw. Everyone's like, oh, if you support Israel, then you're a bloodthirsty, blood-curdling, crazy person who just wants to see people die. And Israel's paying you directly for that. And then I look at the other side and they'd be like, oh yeah? Well, you just want Jews to die and you're being paid by the government of Qatar or whatever it is. Okay, I can't even keep track of it anymore. It just doesn't feel at all like we're adults talking to each other about adult things, does it? I don't even understand it, honestly, at this point. Look. You know, I saw this about one of the big, like, we've had Tucker on the show a bunch of times on radio. We've had, Mark Levin's on part of our network, a big supporter of what they're doing in Israel. Ted Cruz has been on the show a zillion times. All of these people have had positive influences on our country over their lifetimes, I think. I mean, you might disagree with that, but that's what I would say. They're at odds right now. They don't necessarily agree with each other. But, there's been a lot of this jumping to kind of this like accusatory tone that I don't think gets anything done. So let's go through a little bit of it, I guess. Tucker Carlson berates Ted Cruz over bellicose stance on Iran. That's what the New York Times says. And if you read the story, let me give you a little clip of it. Confrontation reflected a bitter rift in President Trump's coalition between hawkish Republicans like Mr. Cruz, who back aggressive action against Iran, and an America First coalition, including Mr. Carlson, that is warning against further entangling the U.S. In the Middle East. The fact that the New York Times is celebrating this gives you an indication of how much we should be doing this type of stuff, right? Like, I didn't really understand it, frankly. I think about it this way. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I put most things through this prism in life. But like if the Eagles make a trade and I'm trying to judge whether it's a good thing for the Eagles and I'm not sure, a lot of times I can look and say, how are Cowboys fans reacting to it? And if they're happy about it, usually it's a bad idea for the Eagles. Look at the way the left, they're loving this. They are basking in this debate. And, again, there's no problem having a conversation about this. Like what I can't understand, I think most about this, and I took it all in on vacation, so, maybe I don't have the full perspective. I'll allow for that. But what I've seen, at least, is this idea that, like, It's just hard for me to understand how a conservative could not see at least slices of both of these arguments as having some sort of merit. Like, I mean, can the people who are really against getting involved in Israel and Iran really not see any danger from Iran? Do we really, I mean, you know, who, like the government that has killed the most people in the United States over the past, 15 years is Iran. Like, they're responsible for lots of American deaths. They've had all sorts of threats against us. They obviously say they want to topple us for many, you know, they've been saying it publicly for a long time. They've threatened our public officials. They've tried to assassinate some of our public officials. You might say, I think there's totally a reason to look at that and say, obviously there's a threat there from Iran. We've gone through that for years and years and years and years here at the Blaze and the Glenn Beck program. But you could also say, hey, like, maybe we shouldn't go this far. Maybe we shouldn't be involved in this. Maybe we shouldn't do more. Let Israel handle this themselves. Like, I could see seeing a slice of, hey, like, they're very dangerous. On the other side, you could say maybe they're overblown. They're not as dangerous as we might think. Certainly, like, I think people who are really aggressively hawkish on this issue can say, hey, we've had problems in the Middle East before. And if we get involved in this and don't really realize what we're getting into, we could have massive problems down the road. Like, can't every conservative at least see some wisdom in both sides of that? You might have, you know, I have a view on it. Like, I tend to be less on the Tucker side of this particular issue. But, like, I can see being worried about the Middle East. Getting involved in the Middle East has not been positive for us at times. So, like, I just don't understand why we have to devolve the conversation immediately into, gosh, you're bloodthirsty and being paid. Everyone thinks everyone else is being paid by a foreign government. Like, I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that Tucker is saying on this. Do I think that the reason he's saying it is because Qatar is paying him for a speech? Like, Tucker's podcast, the guy's making like 8 figures on his podcast. That's just one of his businesses. Tucker's got plenty of money. He's been in the public eye for a very long time. He's not struggling. He even comes from a rich family before he started his own career. Like, I don't know. Maybe, there's going to be some $500 million payment coming from Qatar saying, you must say these things. I sincerely doubt it. I think he really just thinks this is the way the world works right now, and this is the way America should act. That's what I think. Do I think every person who supports this and says that, you know, America should jump in and be more aggressive and maybe help Israel more directly? Do I think those people are all paid by evil Jews? No. They might just believe that Iran, who has completely stated that they want to eliminate America, really wants to eliminate America and Israel. So I just find all of this to be completely unproductive. So that's where I am. You know what? I ranted too long on this. I'm not going to be able to get to anything. So let me move on to the next story here. Sorry, I had a lot more to say about that. Let me give you some good news. A story from Georgia, which I find to be very, very positive. And of course, the left doesn't like it at all. They hate it. They hate this story completely. But I think it's wonderful. Baby of brain-dead pregnant woman kept alive under abortion law has been delivered, family says. Adriana Smith's mother, April Newkirk, told NBC affiliate WXIA of Atlanta, the baby, named Chance, was born prematurely via emergency cesarean section. She said the baby weighed about 1 pound, 13 ounces. I mean, just stopping there is a freaking miracle that a baby 1 pound, 13 ounces can live is a miracle. Is in the neonatal intensive care unit. He's expected to be okay, she told the station. He's just fighting. We want prayers for him. We just keep praying for him. This is interesting coming from the family because the initial reporting on what the family actually wanted was for the baby to die. That was at least the initial reporting. Now, I can't believe that in their hearts they actually wanted that. This became sort of a left-wing meme, which it was a story that basically became kind of a extension of the only literary reference ever made by Democrats, which is Handmaid's Tale. They just want this empty vessel of a mom to carry this baby because they want the mom to be a baby factory. They want all women to just be pumping out babies all the time. No. That's ridiculous. What we had here was a tragedy. A woman, a mother, who wound up being brain dead and had, they believed, no chance at survival. The thought was, do you pull her off of life support or now and kill her and her child? Or do you wait a little while and let the child develop, and then you can maybe save one of those two lives? The question was only two lives lost or one life lost. That was the only question here. And for some reason, the left lined up on the side of wanting both to die. And I don't understand it. I can't imagine. I mean, perhaps, and again, I can't imagine this, but perhaps if the mom came out and was like, you know what, if I ever get into a state like that, I definitely don't want my baby to die or to live. I want my baby to die. I don't want to be sitting there when I have no idea that I'm even sitting there on life support. And I want the baby to actually die. I can't imagine a mom would say that. But if she said that explicitly, maybe you can make the argument. I would think most mothers would think, God, if I'm going to die and I can create a legacy that will last beyond me, my baby will live, you'd think the mom would want that. Now, the reason why this happened is interesting because it was interpreted as part of the abortion law. Well, we can't pull her off of life support because that would cause the death of the baby and that would be an abortion and therefore that would be illegal. That does not at all seem to be the actual truth with the law. I mean, there's no reason to believe that the law would actually require that. That being said, certainly the morally correct choice, isn't it? This baby, now who knows what this baby does, right? This baby might die in a week. This baby might grow up to be our greatest scientist and cure all the diseases. This baby might wind up being the most annoying waiter at Applebee's that forgets your order and screws it up. Whatever their future is, they deserve a chance at it. And the fact that we are able to take a baby that's just over 1 pound and keep it alive in a situation like this is a miracle. Now, of course, the left doesn't see this as a miracle at all. They see something totally different here as I'm blowing through all of my prep materials. Let me give you a couple of tweets. These are from the left. This was, again, I wouldn't say largely representative of, you know, public figures, but this is the online sentiment of the left, and I'll give you something to back that up. How about this? I might be a monster for saying this, but I don't want that child to live. Because if it grows to live and have a decent life, then we as women are doomed to never escape the role of an incubator. Adriana Smith was an experiment of a country that hates its women. It's hard to like her all that much, I will say, after tweeting that. By the way, 57,000 retweet or likes on that. That was something that was liked by 57,000 individual people, but that wasn't the most that I saw. How about this one? I still hope the baby doesn't survive more than another day or two. People are seriously not understanding the precedent across the country that will happen if this baby survives. It really is an absolute worst thing that can happen. Again, the life of a baby is the worst thing that can happen. 109,000 likes. Now, look, it's hard to take representative things from Twitter. I understand that. Was, again, the sentiment largely from the online left, who sees this as this political debate. Then I think the right looks at it and says, like, this is a terrible situation. A mom dying is a terrible, terrible thing. But if you could improve the negative outcome by saving just a small part of what is going on, and I mean in this situation, a small part, just over a pound. If you can save something, a life, and a life comes out of this, and maybe can help this mother have what she wasn't able to experience herself. Maybe there's some good that comes out of this situation. How that could be the worst possible outcome. No one's going to be like, well, now demand we're going to take women and impregnate them and put them on machines to use them as incubators. There's no existing policy proposal from conservatives. Even evil Donald Trump is not asking for that. But I don't know. Maybe the chance of keeping a mom and her baby, having a chance at one of them living, is a positive outcome. And I would argue it's a miracle. Thank God. We live in a country where this type of, most countries would not even allow for this possibility, let alone be scientifically capable of making it happen. We do this more than any other country. We root for the baby and we try to cheer on the life of the child in situations where normally they would just die. A lot of countries don't even try to save babies at 1 pound. We do. And the fact that we're successful at it is a miracle, not something to be sad about. Finally, the Supreme Court, some other good news, upholding a Tennessee law restricting gender-affirming care for transgender minors. Case of U.S. Versus Scrimeti High Court ruled 6-3 to reject the challenge brought by the Biden administration. Three families and a physician who had argued Tennessee's law violated the Constitution's guarantee of equal protection under the law. The court concluded that the state's measure, which is known as SB 1, as enacted in 2023, does not run afoul of the 14th Amendment. So that one as well, I think another positive development. From the Supreme Court, who's been, again, we talked about this at length. We've dissected this endlessly with experts on the Supreme Court over the past few months. Where is the court? I mean, there was a big article that came out in the New York Times also when I was on vacation with like, hey, did you know maybe Amy Coney Barrett's actually not that bad? Did you know that she's actually like winning over some people in the middle and on the left and angering people on the right? And here's a couple of mean people on the right who have said bad things about her. And we just don't know where she's going to end up yet. I mean, I think it's wrong to say she's going to be some left wing justice. I think it's wrong to believe she's going to be Alito or Thomas. She's probably more in the, I mean, we might be looking at a three prong court at this point, where you have Thomas and Alito and maybe Gorsuch over on one side. You have, of course, the three liberals, Sotomayor and Jackson and Kagan on the left. And then the other ones are kind of maybe in the middle, and we're not going to know where they're going to be on every case. I don't know about Kavanaugh. We certainly don't know about Roberts. Roberts is wrong. He was right on this case, but wrong on so many others. So what does that mean? Do we have a good Supreme Court? Do we have a bad Supreme Court? I think what we have is a court that will be right on most things most of the time. And when I say most, I mean above 50%. Are they going to be where I want them to be on everything? No. But I think we're going to get, we might get 60, we might get 70% of the rulings that we like. And that's better than the situation we've had for most of history, certainly since there's been a modern conservative movement. This is a real improvement over where we were for a very long time. I just don't think, you know, if you look at, you know, Trump's three picks, I don't know that we certainly went 3-for-3 there. We might have gone 2-for-3. And what I mean by that is like 70% of each one of them, right? Like, I just don't know that we are going to be thrilled with every one of those picks over the long run. But I don't think we're going to be in that, suitor type of area either. I don't think any of them are like that. I think they're more conservative than many of them that they replaced. But we're not in a perfectly comfortable situation. I can't give you, I will say they're the last bastion, at times in some of these states, because the states will violate any law to get what they want. And then you look back and you say, wait a minute, where are they going? Supreme Court has stopped a lot of the worst instincts of the previous administration and hopefully going on to the next Democratic administration, whenever that is. But perfection is not what we have here. So an interesting, really a fascinating week in the, and honestly, I could do five shows on what we've already talked about, but I'm kind of glad I was on vacation to take a little bit of time to look at this stuff and I don't know, marinate it in a little bit. So we will see all these things, how they develop. There's also big stories coming from New York. Doug Gowdy, he's going to be coming on with me. He's going to talk about the New York City mayoral election, among other things, including people in New York trying to do the thing where everyone gets performatively arrested. We'll get into that next. Fish oil supplements. You probably heard about them, right? Omega-3 is supposed to be good for you. Honestly, are they actually doing anything, though? Most people can't tell. If you're taking an omega-3 supplement, try answering these simple questions yourself. Has it lowered your blood pressure or your cholesterol? Has it helped ease your joint pain or your stiffness? Has it reduced inflammation or swelling? If your answer is no, or even like maybe, it could be a sign. Try something else. Try Native Path and Arctic Krill Oil. This is an upgrade for you because fish oil has some omega-3s, sure, but Native Path Krill Oil goes even further. They have a special powerful antioxidant that I won't even try to pronounce, but if you try that, it's going to add on to the whole process. It's going to help you feel the difference. And if you haven't tried this, it's a good time to try it now. They got a deal going on with 66% off plus free shipping. And this might be the best part of it, because you might be like kind of a doubter, a little skeptical. That's okay. They've got a 365-day money-back guarantee. So it's not like try it for, you know, try 3 days and see what happens. No, this is giving you a whole year to try this out. Special offer is only available at nativekrill.com/stew. nativekrill.com/stew. Go there now. Check it out. It is nativekrill, K-R-I-L-L, nativekrill.com/stew. Let me bring in Doug Gowdy. He's a former WGY morning show host and master of all things New York. Doug, how's it going?
Stu, my man. Hey, good to see you back, by the way. I know you were spending time at the Huma Abedin Alex Soros wedding. How was that?
It was everything I thought it might be, to tell you the truth.
I thought billionaires bad, but apparently not when you marry them. Then they're great. So there you go.
Then they're wonderful. Yeah, we want to ban all billionaires except the ones that we're actually in relationships with. That's a democratic rule. I wanted to get you on, Doug, because I am fascinated by the situation going on in New York right now. It feels like there's just a lot of really bad choices for the poor people of New York. And I want to start in New York City, where a dynamic is playing out that I don't think I ever could have even predicted. Andrew Cuomo, who of course was governor of the state, is now running for mayor of the city. And, you know, he's, as we know, Andrew Cuomo is awful.com. But I talked to a lot of my friends who are up in that area, and they are actually perplexed as to what to do, because the challenger in this particular race is a guy who is just completely off of his rocker, socialist. So can you kind of break this race down for me? What is going on in New York City?
You're too young, Stu, but there was a governor's race in Louisiana years ago when David Duke was the guy, and he was going against Governor Edwards, who had been in prison, and the famous bumper sticker, "Vote for the crook, it's important." New Yorkers sort of have a version of that right now. They're like, oh my God, Andrew Cuomo, I feel like I got to take a shower just saying the name. But then you're like, Zohran Mamdani, what do I know about him? Oh, he makes AOC look moderate. Good. Yeah. And so now what are you going to do? Because that's really who you've got left. I mean, I know we'll talk about the comptroller in a little while, but he's polling at like 5%. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be Cuomo most likely, as it always was, because New York is just numb to idiot politicians who do bad things for New York. I mean, we've done this over and over and over again. There's a long legacy here in New York. We give Louisiana a good run for their money back to the Bayou State. So it's going to be him, which is good for business for you, Stu, I guess. You're going to sell a lot more mugs this Christmas.
Yeah, as he becomes more and more awful, that will definitely show. I will say, though, right now, the people who might buy the Cuomo mug are like, well, I don't want a guy who's legitimately pushing to create city-run grocery stores in New York City, a guy who's legitimately saying he's going to basically freeze all rents across the city, a guy who, as you point out, not only endorsed by AOC, seems to be to the left of AOC, is also saying things like globalize the infatada is not intifada. I said that backwards. I always get that confused with frittatas, which are delicious. But the point is, there's not a good phrase to be saying here, Doug. What do people really think about Mondani?
Well, you love it too. Like, as if like he wasn't left enough, Bernie at the very last minute goes, okay, I'll endorse him. Okay, great. That clears that all up, I guess. But in the globalize the intifada thing is the classic thing with him, where he couldn't condemn the phrase. He sounded like he sort of got it. And then when people called him on it, he literally started crying and said that he was the victim here. And this wasn't about Israel or about the Jewish people. And everybody went, we've heard this for years now in New York, where there's just this constant appeasing or trying to say, yeah, but what about Palestine? Or, yeah, but what about these Muslims? Or yeah, what about that? And he said he's been the victim over and over again of hate speech during this campaign, when he was the one that went on the podcast and for no reason started talking about globalize the intifada. As usual, they're always the victims, I guess, is how it goes. And when it wasn't playing real well, he went to the tears, because Dems have two choices right now. You know this, Stu, full well. One is you go to the tears. The other is you swear, like Hochul did this week, to try and make some sort of point. You throw out a curse word, because then I guess you're really serious. So the first Dem that cries and swears at the same time, then you'll really have something. I put it, Cuomo probably will do that if he runs into some trouble.
Oh, yeah. Well, and certainly he's the Cuomo family, no problem with dropping some F-bombs. So you think Cuomo is going to wind up winning this, which is really a really amazing thing to say after what he did to the state and so many people that lived in it. You think he's because, you know, the way New York City works is they're going to have this Democratic primary, and that's pretty much the entire election. I mean, there's no hope for Eric Adams in the actual election, is there?
The latest poll, I think it came out on Monday, has Adams at 20% approval. 20. I mean, I think Pelosi has better approval ratings in the country than that. Like, so how's that going to change? He put out some video this week of, here's me going out to do great things for New York. And it was just a car pulling away. Like, okay, that's what he's going with. So when there's no traction, just keep spinning the wheels, I guess. There's no way Adams beats Cuomo. Again, the only thing smart thing he did was he bought himself some time, which allows Cuomo to keep stepping in it, which is what he will do. And the thing about Cuomo is he's the opposite. You know, they always say the wounded guy is the most dangerous guy. No, in Cuomo's case, the more comfortable he is, the more likely he is to do something really stupid that could hurt him. So Adams has bought himself some time for that to happen. But you do have to wonder just how big of a blunder it would be for New York City residents to even care at this point.
Amazing. You mentioned Hochul. I want to move to the gubernatorial race. She's going to be facing her own deputy lieutenant governor. She just seems to be all over the board as usual as well. She's certainly no improvement over Cuomo. I mean, is she worse?
Originally, when she went in, everybody said after about a month, like Cuomo 2.0. And then everybody did that. Geez, maybe we shouldn't have run Cuomo. And then everybody said, what kind of choice is that, obviously? And so we just kind of walked away from it. Remember, her initial lieutenant governor was an African-American who she made resign because he had a scandal about some people that were voting that weren't really voters and how that'll happen, whatever. Turned out he was cleared of that. But of course, she made him get out. And then they handpicked Antonio Delgado, who's this congressman from New York who had really done nothing when he was in Congress. So then he takes the lieutenant governor's job, and within about 8 months, you could tell he'd had enough of her. And so he started going very public with Biden's got to step aside, even though Hochul was all in on Biden. And he was making public statements that ran counter to what she was doing. And so you knew something was up. So, yeah, but the thing with him is, Stu, he's announced that he is going to challenge her. And everybody went, what time is it? I think I got to get the chicken out of the oven. You know, I got to go get some groceries. No one seems to care. Like, if a tree falls in the forest, does it even make a sound? Because everybody goes, there's not a dime's worth of difference between any of these guys at this point.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's a land of terrible choices. I would put Brad Lander into this category as well. Brad had what is now, like, I guess the thing you have to do if you're on the left, this performative arrest thing, yeah, where you go out there and you act like you're really pushing for illegal immigrants. And then, you know, eventually you do something that's bad enough to get you arrested. And then you act like you're the victim here, not that you've committed any crimes. Is that what we're seeing from Brad Lander?
It's not just him, though. I mean, Hochul, for example, I don't even know if you can see it, Stu. I'm sure you saw it on social media, but that's the picture of Hochul with Brad Lander's wife. You'd think Brad Lander was Brittany Griner's cellmate in Russia for 5 years, the way it is. He was held for 5 minutes, and then they dropped the charges, and Hochul's like, we'll never back down. Come here, give me a hug. It's all cosplay. It's all, you wonder why the kids at Columbia never got punished, because Hochul and Brad Lander are the people that were in charge then, and they're doing the exact same thing that those kids were doing. It's all pretend. It's all make-believe. Here's how obvious it is, Stu. Do you know the name of the illegal that Brad Lander locked arms with and walked him out of there? Of course you don't. And you know who hasn't said it in days? Brad Lander. Because this is all about Brad Lander getting pressed, not about helping the kid. Think about this, too. You know, back to Hochul with the hug. In the last couple of years, Stu, New York City in particular has had some interesting arrests. So of the three that I'm going to tell you that they did, which one seems the most legit to you? Donald Trump, Daniel Penny, or Brad Lander? And yet this is the one, Brad Lander, that Hochul puts the photo out about and says, we're not going to back down. This is all BS, except she actually said the word. And then yesterday, Stu, she says New York is committing $50 million of taxpayer money to illegal immigrant defense funds. That happened on the very day that an illegal chased down with a knife the U.S. attorney in Albany on a street that's about 2 minutes from the governor's mansion. Like, that happened like 2 hours after she did that. That's the optics of New York in a nutshell right there.
Yeah, it's so strange because I feel like for a long time through history, Doug, that there was an instinct on the left to take an issue that might be unpopular and find some really like sympathetic victim of that situation, right? Like you'd find the mother who's just trying to take care of their kids and gets caught up in an illegal immigration situation. And even though she might be an illegal immigrant, she's really sympathetic and you feel really bad for her. Now they're embracing people like Abrego Garcia, and they're saying, hey, we're gonna tie our futures to illegal immigrants that have committed massive crimes, that have beat their wives, that have done all these terrible things. And I don't know if it's just like brazenness. I don't know what's the change here, or they just run out of good people to find as examples. But like, no longer are they looking for the Rosa Parks example, someone who's a wonderful person that everyone seems to love as soon as they meet her. They're now finding these people that have committed these terrible crimes and celebrating them the exact same way. What is the strategy?
If you can figure out AOC, let me know, Stu, because that's where we're at. Like, she moved everybody that way. And it's always a what have you done for me lately? And everything is a crisis. So you have to go hard left every single time. You saw this with Schumer a couple of times. He voted for one of Trump's budgets and they immediately wanted to like expel him from Congress, which, by the way, a lot of us would be fine with here in New York. But this was the Dems actually saying it, because it didn't matter that he'd done 70 years of work for them in Congress. This one particular thing was a bridge too far for them, because everything is a bridge too far for them. And that's how it rolls, and that's how they roll now. I mean, listen, it's that line from that old Dick Tracy movie, Warren Beatty, back 500 years ago, where Al Pacino is Flat Top, says, I'm looking for generals, and what do I got? Foot soldiers. New York is full of elected foot soldiers. And if the New York City mayor's race is any indication, that ain't going to change anytime soon.
Oh, well, let me ask you one last question about New York's favorite daughter, AOC. You brought her up before. You see her, she's been very much in the news, as she always is. She's always trying to make a big name for herself. She did do a bunch of these rallies across the country with Bernie Sanders. And I don't know, part of me watched that happen, and it felt like a sort of passing of the torch when it comes to the socialist wing of the Democratic Party. Sanders saying, all right, finally, I'm old enough. We need a new voice. And they did these events together. So, Doug, you know her. You've watched her over the years. What's your gut? Is she going to run for president here?
I mean, there's a lot of talk. There's governor here in New York. Hochul's up next year, as you know, and Delgado's running, but nobody likes either of them. So who knows? Maybe in 4 years she does. She's going to do something. On what basis would she run for president? I know nobody needs any reason anymore. Nobody needs any like cred or resume, because what does AOC have on the resume exactly? But it's just stupid enough to actually seem like it could happen, right? I mean, when you said what happened to the party, Stu, do you remember unions in like 1920s? Like there was a reason for them. Like people were falling in the meat machines and dying, and they were working. Okay, so the unions did do something, but in the 2020s now, we're fighting for like 3-day work weeks, and we're fighting for 17,000 holidays off, and they've sort of run out of things. This is what's happened with the left. Those causes that you've touched on, Stu, the parent that had the kid take it, they've run those. And so now they started throwing out crazy stuff like $20 an hour minimum wage or Green New Deals or banning gas stoves and all that stuff. And they've realized that there's no consequences for being crazy. So they keep diving into that end of the pool and they keep going with it. And what's nuts is we all sit here, especially in New York. I mean, New York, California, and Massachusetts, I would say that's the holy trinity of craziness. We let this stuff go on day after day. Hochul said out loud on the Brad Lander case, Stu, she said, not only did he get arrested, but he's an elected official. How outrageous is that? As if somehow, like she's playing a do you know who he is card. We all know that's how they think, that they're more special than everybody else. She said it out loud and everybody went, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, that's what they think. There's no consequences for it. She said she wouldn't raise taxes this year because she didn't want any more rich New Yorkers moving to Palm Beach. She's acknowledging that Democratic fiscal policy is killing New York. Right. But everybody's like, well, what are you going to do? I mean, she's the governor. It's just crazy.
Yeah. And to go back on the Lander thing for a second, this is a state that brought about 500 charges against the president of the United States, former president at that time. The fact that they're now all obsessed with public officials being charged with crimes, they can't believe anyone would do it, Doug. Man, it's shocking.
You know why? It all stems from AOC. Remember that time when the guy, the security guard, was trying to escort her out of some whatever the soup du jour protest of the day was? And AOC's walking, and then she looks and she sees a TV camera, and she immediately puts her hands behind her back and goes, ah, except somebody else had a camera behind her, and her hands were not handcuffed in any way. She put them there because everything's performative art. And we all laughed about that, Stu, but that somehow worked for her. So Brad Lander just sees that and goes, hey, I can do that too. Padilla did it in Congress and people seem to like it. And they're all doing this now. They're all chasing this cosplay unicorn, and it seems to be working for him. I mean, Lander's not going to win, you know, the primary or anything, but I actually think he's like, yeah, this was pretty good. As they review the tape, they're like, oh, that was good, especially when you threw your head back and you looked like you were hurting. I mean, it's just all nonsense. One wonders what the next street performance is going to be from these guys.
Yeah, so true. And the incentives are so messed up. I mean, you do these things, and even if it doesn't help you or your party, it might not help you win an election, but now people know who he is, and he rally raises more money, and on and on and on. Doug Gowdy, former WGY morning host, keeping an eye on New York so we don't have to. Doug, so much. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
It is this gray. I didn't have it before I started following New York politics, too.
Very true. Thanks, Doug. Many standard investment portfolios include companies actively working against conservative principles. Your investment dollars could unintentionally fund causes that you fundamentally disagree with. That's why Constitution Wealth exists. They are carefully screening companies to ensure alignment with your conservative American values. Their team of experienced professionals understands and prioritizes your principles, using strategic investment choices and proactive shareholder advocacy to protect your values. Don't wait until your money has already supported causes that you oppose. Take action now to align your financial decisions with the conservative principles you hold dear. Visit constitutionwealth.com/blaze. constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Get a free consultation today. It's constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Constitution Wealth is a registered investment advisor. You should review Constitution Wealth's disclosures at constitutionwealth.com to understand their services and fees. All investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. This is a paid endorsement, and I am a client of the firm. My opinions, of course, however, are always my own. Well, I know we don't have a TikTok page. I will never have a TikTok page. I don't. First of all, I hate it. Secondly, I don't necessarily want to have that kind of intimate relationship with the Chinese Communist Party. So I'm not on it. I don't have an account. I will never have an account. That being said, we need to make up our mind about TikTok as a country. Okay? We passed a law that said that TikTok was essentially, I mean, it said a bunch of different things, but it was the TikTok ban law. You'll remember this. And the idea was that this is a real threat to our security. And everyone at the time was like, oh, yeah, it is. And China's too far. And this passed overwhelmingly through the House and Senate and was put into effect as it was signed into law. Part of that law allowed for a single 90-day delay in implementing this ban if a deal was imminent. I don't remember the exact phrasing of it, but it was basically like if they're in the middle of the deal, it had already been agreed upon and it was in the process of happening, they could have a 90-day delay where that was happening. Because the idea was not necessarily to ban TikTok, it was to have a United States company take ownership of it. I don't know that it would have made that much of a difference anyway. That being said, it's not happening. The law is in effect, but it is just being ignored. Donald Trump put this out on Truth Social. I've just signed an executive order extending the deadline for TikTok closing for another 30 days. Thank you for the attention to this matter. And he did do that. That is not legal, however. It is not. This is illegal. Everything that's happening now is illegal. I'm not blaming Donald Trump solely for this. He likes TikTok now. Everyone else seems to like TikTok. We've all just forgotten about all those concerns about security, and now everyone seems to like TikTok. And that's fine. If that's what you want, you can have that. If that's the world you want, you can have that world. The way you have that world is by passing a law that allows for it. You can't just ignore it. And when I say, like, Donald Trump is, yes, he's the one signing the executive order. Every single thing Donald Trump does gets challenged by the left, and they're not challenging any of this. They're not doing anything about it. They're just sitting back and just letting this all happen. Now, one, I'd be worried if I were in the Trump administration. Like, are they, like, luring us into something? Are they going to come after us with this later? I don't know. We'll see. I don't think Trump really worries about such things. But You know, there'd be some concerns about whether the left is just holding their fire right now for the right time, because this is not a legal act. You can't just ignore this. You can't. There's nothing in the law that allows for now 3 90-day delays on this. It just doesn't exist. So what you can do is go to Congress, pass a law that says we need 90 more days. Or you could say what they really seem to want, which is actually we don't really want to ban anymore because we keep doing well and it's helping me raise money. So now we want the TikTok thing to go away. You could pass a law that says that former ban is no longer in effect. That's fine, too. But you have to do one of those things. You can't just keep you can't just keep ignoring the law. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care what side is doing it. In this case, it's all sides doing it. Either way, it's wrong. Pass freaking laws if you want things done. Bus family is now going to sell the Lakers to Mark Walter for a $10 billion valuation. I mainly bring this up largely because Mark Cuban keeps telling us he's this brilliant businessman. And the Luka Doncic trade had nothing to do with him. It was not his choice. But and everyone says that was really bad, and it was. But it might be worse to sell the Mavs at a $3.5 billion valuation like a year before the Lakers sell for $10 billion and the Celtics sell for $7. And a new expansion franchise is likely coming into play for like $6 or $7 billion as well. That's just a bad business move. And stop telling us how we're supposed to run the country and our economy, Mark. That's just not going to work. Finally, Arnold Schwarzenegger reveals how he and Sylvester Stallone ended their feud after, quote, doing nasty things, end quote, to each other. There has to be a better way to make that headline work. I'm just saying. By the way, there's a need to know segment in here if you want it in the article. And I'm going to be clear with you. There's absolutely nothing that you need to know about that story. When the time comes for you to move, whether it's in the same town or anywhere else in the country, you're going to want a real estate agent. And you're going to want not just any agent, you're going to want someone who knows what they're doing. Not fly-by-night people who just don't cut it. You want somebody real who understands what you're trying to do. And Glenn, he found this out years ago when he was moving around a lot. He got tired of dealing with mediocre agents on the right and on the left and everywhere he turned. So he created a free service called realestateagentsitrust.com. This is something that connects you to the top performing agents who actually care about your outcome. Agents who are experienced, who are vetted and fully committed to helping you buy or sell with confidence, whether you're moving across the country or across town. These are the people Glenn would hire himself and the only ones he puts his name behind. It's realestateagentsitrust.com because your move isn't just a move, it's your life and you deserve to work with someone who actually treats it that way. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Check it out. It's a free service to you. Realestateagentsitrust.com, realestateagentsitrust.com. Okay, so here's what happened. German politician wanted to promote tourism. So they came up with the most obvious solution. German politician invites the entire country to educational nudist swinger holiday and training camp with outdoor sex. Obviously, that's what you would do in that situation. Now, I will say the training camp is just a bunch of people having sex before the actual nudist camp. So I think it's just him trying to have sex, I think. And by the way, here he is. He does have a sign in front of his special parts. I will say it's always dudes, though. It's always dudes inviting you to the nudist camps, isn't it? It's just not a lot of ladies doing that, fortunately. I will say this is the worst. Check that. It's the second worst idea I can think of from German politicians. So one that's considerably worse, but this is pretty bad.